We're going to look tonight afresh at the grace of God toward us in our Lord Jesus Christ, particularly in the passage we read from Luke chapter 7 and verses 36 to 50, as we follow through with this series we've been doing for a little while on the theme of grace in the Bible. And I guess, if you're like me, that if you knew tonight that all your sins would be paraded and put in front of everyone in this room, you would be very loath to be in this room tonight. None of us would want to have those worst sins, those secret sins, exposed to the blaze of everyone's sight. Here's a woman tonight whose worst sins were known to a whole community. And yet she came to the house of a man with an impeccable religious reputation. A man who was among his most trusted friends. But a group from that group, she was an outcast. People who would have looked down on her. People who would have treated her with contempt. And so we've got to ask ourselves, the woman in the reading in Luke chapter 7 tonight, what was she doing in the house of Simon the Pharisee? Well, we need to understand too that at this time, and it's still largely true in the Middle East, a woman's reputation is everything. If she has no reputation, whatever else she may not have, with no reputation, she's got no chance. In some countries in the Middle East still, if she's got no reputation, there's a good chance she might not even live very long. And here's a Pharisee tonight who was throwing, I suppose what we would say, a street party. There was a religious teacher in town. When the Bible tells us that one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, it wasn't so much like a dinner party that we would hold in our house, which would be a private, closed affair. It would have been held in a courtyard, a large, more public area, more like our sort of street party. Now, there were special guests on the invitation list. But people from the whole area would have been able to come. And that's the group, that's the meeting to which this woman tonight came. And it's clear from our reading that the Pharisee Simon, who had invited Jesus, was sort of sizing Jesus up. He wasn't so sure about who Jesus was. And we can see something of that, that he didn't show to the Lord Jesus Christ the sort of courtesies that we might have expected. The Lord Jesus Christ will tell us that he wasn't greeted as was customary at the door and the host provide water for him to wash his dirty feet. No one to greet him, no one to wash his feet, no oil to anoint him as a gesture of respect. I think this Pharisee was more sizing Jesus up. What kind of man is this Jesus? He's got the reputation of being a prophet. But I want to check him out. But we also need to see this woman did not come to that place that night to size up who Jesus was. Because this woman already knew something that was very, very important about Jesus Christ. We need to understand that somehow this woman had encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps she had heard his message in the town. Perhaps she'd even had a personal encounter with him. But somehow this woman knows who Jesus Christ is. And she knows his message. And she knows the gospel. And already something has had an impact in her life. It seems that this man, Jesus Christ, has given to her something that no one else could give her and that she'd never experienced before. forgiveness of sins. So a woman was being treated by others with contempt, but she's here at this party because of Jesus Christ and because of grace. The grace that has shown her acceptance and forgiveness. And she's there to show Jesus Christ there her undying love and gratitude because of the grace that has been revealed to her. So first of all tonight, let's look at Simon the Pharisee who's playing it safe. The table's set in the courtyard. Guests reclining at the tables. And one of the important people we are reading about in this story is a Pharisee. And in a way, that's a surprise because most of the time, the Lord Jesus Christ had some pretty direct things to say to Pharisees. But this was a social invitation. It was a meal. For Simon, it was low key. He wasn't going to risk offending his friends. I wonder what words we would use to describe the Pharisee. Urbane, perhaps. Smooth. Polished, respectable. But above all, Simon is no fanatic. He's a man of the world. He's a religious man. He knows how to get on. He's a middle-of-the-road man. But he's checking out who Jesus Christ is, but he's playing it safe. The second thing we see here is the gate crasher. This woman enters, and she goes to the place where the Lord Jesus Christ is reclining. Now, the Bible describes her in a very discreet way. Behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner when she knew that Jesus sat at the table. This woman was a prostitute. She would sell her body for money to men. So now there's a shock wave going through the house of Simon the Pharisee, because ordinarily Simon and this woman would never meet. He would not go near a woman like her, and she would not normally be found in the company of a man like him. They're from opposite ends of the social spectrum, and yet they're thrown together now for the purpose. For different reasons, though, but they want to meet Jesus Christ. And this woman knew that Jesus Christ was not like all the other men she had known before who had used her and then thrown her away. She had heard words of forgiveness and grace and the promise of new life and forgiveness, a way out of her ugly, empty life before. And so Simon, who is shocked, watches as this woman does something unbelievable. She intends to anoint Jesus' feet with a most expensive perfume. But at first she's crying and doesn't stop. And as she cries, her tears fall on Jesus' feet. And she dries his feet with her hair. We have to realize what a shocking thing that was in the days of Jesus. You could divorce your wife if she showed her hair to another man. And she is wiping Jesus' feet with her hair in a room that's full of strangers. And she smothers his feet with kisses. And then she finally anoints his feet with that precious perfume. And it was shocking. She reacts to the Lord Jesus Christ and that grace that has been shown to her. How would we describe her? We might say generous, emotional, passionate, affectionate. Why is she weeping? She's weeping because she loves Jesus Christ. And she isn't afraid to show it. When she comes, she stood at his feet behind him to honor his greatness. She weeps. She has known conviction and sorrow about her past way of life. She wipes Jesus' feet with her hair, it's a sign of deep humility. She kisses his feet, a sign of great affection. And then she anoints his feet in gratitude of what he has done for her. And there's Simon watching this shocking scene. He has never seen anything like it. It goes against all his conservative instincts. He is deeply offended by what this woman has done. And he begins to think, this sinful woman has touched Jesus. And it hasn't bothered the Lord Jesus. And Simon is thinking, he would never let a disgusting woman like that touch him. The whole thing is revolting, dirty, wrong. And so Simon is shocked by what he has seen. So, first of all, Simon was playing it safe. Then there is this woman, the gatecrasher. And then thirdly, there's a challenge. You notice that the Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly what Simon was thinking. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows every detail of our lives, knows all about you and all about me tonight. You notice verse 39 says, the Pharisee spoke to himself. Verse 40 says, Jesus answered and said to him. That must have been a shock too. Simon is thinking something to himself, and Jesus answers with something that gets to the root of exactly what he's thinking. So he says, there are two men who owed money to a moneylender. If we put it into sort of today's setting, one owes £5,000 and the other man owes £500. But neither of them have any money. And the person who has lent them the money just freely cancels the debt. So now here's the crunch question to Simon. Which of these two men will love the lender more? Well, I think Simon is beginning to realize, the Pharisee is beginning to realize that Jesus knows something about his heart. He's a little cautious in his answer. I suppose the one whom he forgave more. You have rightly judged, says the Lord Jesus. And what's happening? In Simon's eyes, the woman was like the man who owed £5,000. Her debt to God is huge, very big. She's a great sinner, big sinner. And compared to her, Simon is thinking, my debt is like 50p. But the point is, and Simon perhaps is starting to think about this, if you're in debt, you're in debt. And if you can't pay it, you can't pay it. And whether you owe a little or whether you owe a lot, if you can't pay the debt, you're in trouble. And the truth begins to sink in. Simon, we're all in debt to God. Not literally with money, but our lives have all fallen short of God's glory. Some owe more and some owe less. But none of us can pay, not one penny, to pay off the debt. But here's the gospel, that God is willing to forgive all debtors. The people who owe a lot, people who owe a little. But it's not by what we pay. It's by the precious blood of Jesus Christ shed at the cross. And Simon is beginning, perhaps, to tremble. Because Jesus is saying to him, Simon, you're in debt. And so at heart, there's no difference between you and the prostitute. And And that message begins to sink in. So there's the challenge. The fourth thing we see here is a risk. The Lord Jesus Christ turns to the woman for the first time. You notice when he turns to her for the first time, though, he doesn't speak to her, he speaks to Simon. Verse 44, he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil." And Simon, do you know why she's doing these things? See, that's behind that, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ is contrasting the shabby treatment he received when he arrived at the house of Simon. "You kept me at arm's length. You didn't even show me the ordinary courtesies. But she was not ashamed of me. She lavished love on me. Extravagantly. Abundantly." So Simon, you know religion. And you know the temple. And you know the sacrifices. And you know the law. But you've missed the whole point. What was Simon's big problem? Simon's big problem was he thought that he was better than the prostitute. Simon was thinking, she is a sinner. And God can change the tense in a person's life. Have you noticed that? She is a sinner. No, Jesus is saying, she was a sinner. She's a forgiven sinner now. And her love is a sign of her forgiveness. Grace has been shown to her. And because of grace in forgiveness of sins, by trusting in Jesus Christ, this woman's life has been completely changed. She was a sinner. Now she's a forgiven sinner. But Simon, you're still a sinner. Simon, you think you can see her, but you can't. You may have heard about her for years, living this wayward lifestyle. But now she's a forgiven sinner, and you can't handle it. Because now she's lavishing her love upon the Savior. And it's difficult, isn't it, for someone who has never been deeply committed to anything, to understand that when someone is transformed by Jesus Christ, their whole life is changed. And the Christian is someone who can say that they love Jesus Christ. So then when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks again, he says, "Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." The greater you sense your need for forgiveness, the greater will be the love and the joy and the way you express that when you're forgiven. If you know you've been greatly forgiven tonight, will you not be able to say that you love the Savior, Jesus Christ? But if you say, "Oh, my debt before God is just like a little trifling 50p. You might even think, "Do I really need a Savior at all?" You'll only love God a little. And so now the Lord Jesus is getting to the heart of Simon the Pharisee, who perhaps doesn't like being backed into a corner like this. This is a very risky business that Simon the Pharisee has undertaken, inviting this Savior to his house. And sometimes, you know, the way in which God's people express their love for Jesus Christ doesn't have to be in an eloquent way necessarily. But the way we express that love for Jesus Christ is a response to the way in which we realize greatly forgiven. You know tonight you've been greatly forgiven. That should produce the response of a great love then for the Savior. There's a time in the history of the work of the gospel in Wales when people began to be greatly concerned about the ineffectiveness in the church, in gospel work and witness, and began to seek God in a new and deeper way for God to pour out a blessing upon the church. In 1904, it's reckoned between November 1904 and November 1905 that perhaps 100,000 people in Wales became Christians. And lots of people, they take what happened during that time and those prayer meetings when people were seeking God, and they trace back that the mighty dam of God's blessing which flowed was breached when, first of all, a young woman got up in a prayer meeting and she prayed, "I love Jesus with all my heart." And as she prayed like that, God's blessing fell on the people who'd gathered to pray. Someone who would realize she'd been forgiven much. "I love Jesus with all my heart," she said. And God, by the Holy Spirit, honored her prayer. And sometimes we can imagine we've become so respectable that we forget a great sinner. God has greatly loved us. Shouldn't we love him if we've been greatly forgiven? So the Lord Jesus then speaks to this woman for the first time. And you notice he says three things to her. He says, your sins are forgiven. Verse 48, and he said to her, your sins are forgiven. That's dealing with her past. Then in verse 50, he says to the woman, your faith has saved you. And that takes care of her future. Go in peace. That takes care of her present. Your sins are forgiven. That past, which was an ugly past, and people knew about it in that town, but your sins are forgiven. Doesn't God come to us in the gospel and say, come, let us reason together? Your sins, though they be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. You was a scarlet woman, but a forgiven woman. What had happened to her sins? They'd been washed away by the Saviour, Jesus Christ, in God's sight, whiter than snow. We have a great gospel, don't we? That we can say to anyone, whatever their background, whatever their circumstances, whatever your past, there is forgiveness for you before a holy God if you come to him through Jesus Christ. His blood can make the foulest clean. Amen. His blood availed for me and for you tonight if you're a Christian. Your faith has saved you. So her past was dealt with and her future. You see, this woman might have thought she had no hope for a future. But now in Jesus Christ, her life has been transformed. She knows God's saving power in her life. Now she is in God's hands, the God of grace, who will not let her go. Go in peace. You see, Simon the Pharisee, he didn't have peace. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no peace. Do you have peace tonight in your heart? Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within, peace with God. That's what Jesus says to her. He doesn't say anything else. He doesn't need to say any more. She's been set free. So Simon the Pharisee, in this party that he's thrown, this dinner invitation, more than he ever imagined, he planned to size Jesus up. And I can picture Simon the Pharisee looking now at the Lord Jesus Christ with a mixture of shock and fear and amazement. So we find out something about Simon in this account and something about the woman. Simon, the man who would not commit himself to anything. The woman who risked everything. But isn't the wonder in this story, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior who comes in grace, as we were thinking this morning, the Savior who came to seek and to save that which was lost, he has come to a party invitation to seek out and save this woman who was lost, but now is found and rescued from that past life. Someone once described it, taken out of the quarry of sin and made a living stone in the church of Jesus Christ. See, Simon the Pharisee had thought, I owe Jesus nothing. So he risked nothing. The woman said, I owe Jesus Christ everything. So she risked everything. Your love still tonight towards the Lord Jesus Christ is as you remember. That's one of the things we do in our communion service. Remember how much you have been forgiven. We're all like the woman in this story. So guilty we could never pay the debt we owe before God. Forgiven more than our minds can comprehend. Watch out, sometimes there can be a little bit of Simon that creeps back into us. We secretly begin to think that we're better than we really are. So we hold back, play it safe. Don't be too radical in commitment to Jesus Christ. Don't express your love to Jesus Christ so emotionally, so expressively, so outwardly. But if you know something of love in your heart towards Jesus Christ, though it's risky and it's a bit dangerous, if you stay like Simon, love may pass you by. Listen to C.S. Lewis as he puts it like this. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. There's always that danger in our lives. That hobby may be a legitimate thing in itself. But you can wrap yourself up so much in it, you lose your love for Jesus Christ. Little luxuries, you allow yourself to be so wrapped up in them, you lose your love for Jesus Christ. Lock it up, as he says, in the coffin of your selfishness. But in that coffin, it will not be broken, it will become unbreakable, he says. Impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell. Love is a risky business, he's saying. So think of it this way, if I was going to put it to you in a very controversial way. You can be like Simon, or you can be like the prostitute. And even our social unease sometimes makes us think sometimes it would be more comfortable to be like Simon. But Luke tells us this story to challenge us tonight to say, actually, in expressing your love to Jesus Christ, you should be more like the repentant prostitute. And if we feel uncomfortable about that, it says more about us than it does about the Bible. The people who sat around the table began to say to themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? Jesus was saying, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. So watch out for that danger of reverting back to a Simon mentality. where we live in our fears, afraid even to express our love for Jesus Christ. Our heart is closed like in a coffin. Or by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ, we see in this repentant woman something that challenges us, Lord, to love you more. Don't choose to be like Simon, playing it safe. A woman who smothered Jesus' feet with kisses. A woman who let down her hair and dried his feet. What a shocking thing to do. Risky, daring. But everybody that night knew that woman loved Jesus Christ. I sometimes think, well, does my next door neighbor know that I really love Jesus Christ? Does my colleague in work know that I really love Jesus Christ? Does my friend know that I really love Jesus Christ? Even in the congregation of God's people, do other believers know that I really love Jesus Christ? Or to be able to be so taken up with the Savior that we might love him more. All for grace to love him more. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you tonight for this challenge to us from your word by the Holy Spirit. We pray that in our hearts, something of this woman's love for the Savior, which was so shocking in her day, may be to us a challenge. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the grace that's been shown to us. Where would we be tonight were it not for the forgiveness of sins through our Lord Jesus Christ? And Lord, then in response, we too would cry out, Lord, give us grace. The God of grace, give us grace that we might love you more. Help us, Lord. We come, we cry out to you tonight that you'll hear us then and help us. We love because the Savior first loved us. If we love him at all, it is because he first loved us and gave himself for us. And we bless the Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing 448. 448. And then in a little while, we're going to come to gather together at the front of the church for the Lord's Supper. But first, 448. Sweet the moments rich in blessing which before the cross I spend. Life and health and peace possessing from the sinner's dying friend. 448. Lord, in the light of such love shown to us by the Saviour, we want to confess before you that so often our love is not what it should be towards you. We pray for grace and forgiveness and peace to flow tonight to us from the Saviour who died and rose again. Empower us by the Spirit. Inflame our hearts. Teach us your ways. We thank you that we have a gospel to proclaim. And as we consider tonight the love of the Saviour for us then, Lord, we cry out to you that you may individually and as families, as a congregation, Lord, increase our love for the Saviour in the light of his great love for us. Hear us then, help us even as we come around the table now in a moment. We think on the Saviour's love that took him even to the cross of shame. Oh, what a Saviour. Help us. We come in Jesus' name. Amen.